Isaiah 54, verse 2 to 3. Quickly, let me rush into my sermon. 54, verse 2 to 3. Isaiah chapter 54, Bible says in King James Version, please. Then you go to NLT for me. Isaiah 54, verse 2 to 3, the Bible says, enlarge the place of thy tent. Isaiah 54, verse 2. Enlarge. Do you have King James? Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitations. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords and straighten thy sticks. Enlarge, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. And thy seed. Can you see seed again? That's your children. That's why your children. This promise is for you and your children. Seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Enlarge. Increase your capacity. God needs you to grow. The kingdom of God needs you to grow. I said something yesterday that your growth is a necessity for the kingdom. Your growth is a necessity for the kingdom. Enlarge your capacity. Enlarge your competence. Go for more. More. Don't be satisfied being small and little. Go for more. Break the left. Break the line. Look for more. Look for more opportunities for the expression for the kingdom. Deliberately. Enlarge. Enlarge. Expand. Expand your mind. Improve your skill set. Be better at what you are doing. Grow, he says. For you shall break forth to the left and to the right. The Bible says your seed would inherit the Gentiles. Go for more. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. The woman came to meet Elisha the prophet and cried out. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. And cried out to her and said, Master, wives of one of the prophets, says, the servant, my husband is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did serve the Lord, did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take away my two sons. And so this man was a prophet. Please follow me closely. And Pastor Sam said something yesterday. And people can serve God and be poor. How many of you remember he said it yesterday? I was asking people, I said, I saved you all my life. Why is this happening? Because the principles of spirituality, the principle that makes you spiritual, makes you grow in God, even if it makes you effective in life. And so you have to learn the two. Are you following my point? You have to know what it means to manage what God has given to you. Be better at it. This man feared God, but was poor. Feared God. And now, pay, money pay, low pay, man pay, pam pay. I've come to pick the children. Sometimes you wonder people in church, somebody send you a message, say, please, are you from Susan? So somebody owed us money. People have collected money from Opay, collecting money from Pape. They are posting their pictures everywhere. For wrong financial man. You see, Christians should not find themselves in that shit. It's not proper. This woman's children are about to be lost because of the financial incapacity of their father. And the enemy came when the man died. There's something that happens when things die. You will live long for your children. Yeah. Verse 2, Elisha said to the woman, help me quickly, media. What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what do you have in your house? And she says, thy handmaid has nothing save a pot of oil in your house, not outside your house. There's a lot that can come out of this place, but honestly, if I dive into it, I won't be able to finish. Let me just quickly rush. He says, nothing but a pot of oil. Verse 3. Then she says, go and borrow thee vessels abroad, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. You know, he says, do not borrow small. Do it big. Think big. You can start small, but think, God knows the fear. There is none of your vision that is big that God will say, hey, my chest. This boy won't kill me with vision. There is nothing you can dream of that is not a microscopic matter in the eyes of God. Borrow big. You know, where we are in our church, we occupy, you know, is a 1,000 by 1,300 seater capacity auditorium. 1,200 and something capacity. When we moved there, our church were just about 180. So I took 180 people to a 1,200 plus capacity auditorium. And I said, yes, this is where we're going to be having church now. Everybody thought I was mad. Everybody, they didn't just have the mind to tell me. Because it was madness. How can you bring us from where we are? Where we are was about 200 seater. You know, just managing it. And now took everybody and said, we are going to that big place. It's opposite CBN like this. Massive. We didn't even have the money to pay for it. It was too big. Upstairs, downstairs. And I brought them there. Said, this will be having service. When we came, like, they were scattered like ants. I told you, spread out. You go better for Satan. You sit here, we leave one shine in the middle, you sit on the side. Everybody's on the second. If you sit in one chair, you put your Bible in one chair. My God. Spread out. When we snap the picture, like this, spread out. You will never pity me. I will never live my life in the way that you have opportunity to pity me. I told the photographers, you must never snap an empty chair. If you snap, you'll lose your job in this church. Spread out! We have filled up. We have started second service in that place now. Second service has filled up now. People are sitting outside. Now, people are sitting outside in that church now. Borrow! There is no vision too big for God. Borrow many vessels, he says. Many vessels. Borrow not a few. Go on. What does he say next? Help me, media. Empty vessels. Borrow not a few. Verse 4. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and your children. You shut the door and begin to pour out oil into those vessels. You don't put ring lights. You shut. What makes for multiplication is not out for public glare. You don't put ring lights. Real things are not done online. Our generation is addicted to everything online. Pastor was saying yesterday. People want to pray. People have video of their prayer. I've never seen it in my life since I gave my life to Christ. That people want to pray. When Jesus said, when you want to pray, shut your... I have never seen that. People can want to pray. On it. Shalalabakata Efrana. Then they notice that it's like it's not recording. Okay. Shalana Shana Prana. Ow! How's that? Not everything is meant for the public. Elisha says, shut your door. What God wants to do in your life, don't bring it outside. Let men see the results. You hide the process. Let men, Jesus hid. You see, God is a hider. The Bible says it's the glory of God to hide a matter. God hid Jesus from the Old Testament. If it was an agitation, Satan would have caught Jesus a long time because somebody would have posted him. Somebody would have posted him. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were naked and God slayed an animal and clothed their nakedness with his skin and said to Satan, the seed of a woman will bruise your head. Women don't have seed. Do you get that? A woman does not have seed. So God was saying, a virgin will give birth. And this virgin will bruise your head. The reason why Golgotha was called the place of the skull is that it was on that cross that Jesus bruised the head of the serpent. God strategically hid Jesus through the Old Testament. We see him when Noah was asked to build an ark. Build an ark. Anyone that runs into that ark will be saved. Anyone. God said, I want to destroy people. I want to destroy people. And say, be building an ark. Anyone that runs into that ark will be saved. That was Christ. That no matter who they are, let them just run. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it. That was Jesus. God said to Moses, said to Abraham, this is your only son. Kill him. You know, he was the second son, not the first son. So we have the first Adam and the last Adam. He was the second son. But God calls him your only son. You will take him to a mountain that I will show you. It took him 3 days to get there. So for 3 days, Isaac was dead in the heart of Abraham. For 3 days, Jesus was really dead. On that mountain, he saw a ram caught by the horns with thistles and thorns. That would be the sign that the sacrifice will wear a crown of thorns. You see, this ram was caught by the horns. When he wore a crown of thorns, he bore the curse on the earth. For now, God said, thorns and thistles will the earth bring forth for you. That was the curse. Jesus literally bore the curse on his head from Mount Moriah. On that mountain, Abraham saw Jesus. That a day will come, there will be an exchange. He that was to die will be set free. And another will die in his place. God hid Jesus throughout the Old Testament. Why did Moses' rod become snake? I have a big problem with snakes. And don't blame me. Somebody said, not all snakes are venomous. Some are not poisonous. How do I know a snake is not poisonous? If you look at his fangs and check I will first check the fangs of the snake to know whether it's poisonous or not. Any snake I see, first kill first. We'll be checking later. So I have a problem with Moses' rod becoming a snake. You see, because it was right in the presence of God. I was hoping that right in God's presence, that rod was to become something like maybe a dove. How many of you agree that dove would be better? Because dove is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. But I said, okay, maybe this dove can fly away. And when God said, yeah, catch your dove. What's the law? I said, okay, what about a lamb? What about a lamb? Because a lamb is a symbol of Christ. But I found out in scriptures that that rod had to become snake. Because snake, then, if you look at the crown of Pharaoh, you find a snake on top of it. That was the symbol of sin that held Israel bound. And he that knew no sin must become sin. On that rod, we see Isaiah chapter 11 verse 2, that a rod must come from Jesse. This rod became snake. Jesus did not become sinner, he became sin. The very personality of sin on the cross. So on that day, we will know by deliverance. That rod was what delivered them from Egypt. The Red Sea is not red because it's color red. The Red Sea is called red because that's where everything ends. They overcame him by the blood. You see, that sea was when they parted from death to life. And nothing can pursue them from the other side. At the blood of Jesus, everything ends. That was the sacrifice. That point where Israel went to the other side by the blood, the devil was on the other side. And what swallowed up the enemy was that blood. That was why Moses' rod became snake. Israel was beaten by snakes. And they asked the Lord, what should we do? He said, create a brazen serpent. If they look at it, they'll be healed. That's it. The symbol of what was killing us. What we need to do is the symbol of it that became that symbol. Jesus on the cross became sin. And as long as I look at him, sin no longer has a poison in my life. So you see throughout Old Testament how God strategically healed Jesus and gave us hints and bits. And this is Christ. And Satan did not know. The Bible says if the princes of this world had known, they would never have crucified the prince and the king of glory. Satan didn't know. On the day that Jesus died, he was rejoicing in hell with his demons, and they were singing and saying, "Yes, we did it." But suddenly, on their gates, they heard a loud noise. Bwah! Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory. Satan was shivering. You dare brought the light of the world into darkness. And Jesus walked through hell. He caught Satan by the jugular. Jugular, jugular. Jugular, jugular. He shook him. He broke him. Smashed him. He opened all the gates. Satan didn't have right over Jesus. He had right over Adam. And everyone that came through Adam. And Jesus was not the seed, he was not the seed of Adam. Jesus was the seed of God. But God hid Jesus in Mary. That's my point. It's not everything that is meant for social media. God knows how to hide. And some of you might be in a hidden season in your life. Don't be in a hurry to rush out. God's doing something with your life. Are you following my point? Sometimes too much early visibility could be the reason for destruction. When we're young, before all this graphics media came out, in those days when we're young, there used to be something called film. When they take pictures, you know how many of you are young enough? So they take it to the dark room. That's where the photographer dips it. Shake it. Dips it. Shake it. Before the pictures come out, in the dark room. The Bible says he calls out light out of darkness. Give back that scripture. It says, "Heed, you and your sons, shut the door and every vessel you pour into it." Next verse, please. We're in 2 Kings. Do you have it? 2 Kings chapter 4. Are you getting blessed? And she poured out the vessel. Verse 6. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, "Bring me yet another vessel." And she said, "There's no longer more vessel." If you mean verse 5. Verse 5, yes. So she went from him and shut the door upon her sons. And we brought, verse 3 now. Verse 4. I beg your pardon. I think we're in verse 4. And when that come, that shall shut the door. Yes, that's where we are. Upon thy and the sons, and shall pour out the oil, and you shall set aside. Which one? The Bible says to set aside every vessel that is full. Don't dance around your vessels. When your vessel is full, what do you do? Eh? You just bought a new land, what do you do? I didn't hear you. You just got a new achievement, what do you do? Don't dance too early. Set aside. What God wants to do in your life is too big. And the greatest enemy of what God wants to do might be what God has just done. If you stay too long there. So when the vessel is full, don't let people distract you. You know, I called Bishop Waleke's son this morning. I called him this morning that I want to bring Bishop Waleke to our church next year, March. And he said, "Okay, how many years?" I said, "Our church is 7 years." He said, "Just 7 years? Are you serious?" I said, "I tried you 7 years. I started that church with 5 people. Ah." He said, "Man," I said, please, let's go to the next thing, please, don't tell me that one. Don't dance to me, don't sing to me. If you stay around people who sing to you too much, you will not move forward. But there are people who are doing bigger things than what you are doing for God. Do you know that? The reason why you feel like a champion is that you are among mediocres. If you are the best guy in the room, you are in the wrong room. You need to change that room fast. Get out of that place. Unless we are going to hold you down and keep you on the floor.
Something happens when you stay around people that are bigger than you. And God is to stretch your mind and your capacity. Our church one time, we're struggling with paying 3 million every month. It's our budget. 3 million was so heavy on our chest. As if we wanted to die. Where are we going to see this 3 million? Every month, 3 million. We pay more than that every week now. Way more than that. But that time, it's as if we were going to die. So we went to visit Pastor Kingsley. He would come to Abuja for a meeting. And when we were in his room, Pastor Sunday Ogidibo was there talking. He was saying, ah, they are church. They spend over 10 million every month. I was pinching my wife. 10 million? How did you? We're going to die. 10 million? He said sometimes even his 12 million. We were here breathing over 3 million. And while we were talking, Dunsin came in to see Pastor. Hey, Pastor Gaffer. He said, Pastor, this program we're working on. Working on the over, I think it's outpouring program. But it's going to cost us about 380 million. I just tapped my head and said, let's be going. Without saying anything, our life was changed. Just by being in a room that was bigger than us. Set it aside. You are a kingdom citizen. Don't dance too early. Don't dance too early. We opened our second branch in Lagos. We opened it this Sunday, for instance. By next Sunday, somebody come and say, Bishop, we people wanted to see me. I was rejoicing that we opened another branch. Ah, we opened another branch now. No, we do now. We now have two branches. I went to see Bishop the next week. Bishop said, Philip, how are you? Say, just walk with God. He said, we have over 400 branches in Ghana alone. and about 130 in Congo. I already knew what God was doing. Set it aside. So see on to the next one. See on to the next one. No matter what you have done, it's small compared to what you can do. God needs you to grow. Because you see, I told you yesterday, your growth is an extension of the kingdom. You have to be deliberate with what's happening in your head. What do you have? You don't have anything. You're just like this. And because you gather small people around you, Papa, prophets, apostles, you feel very big. You have to take that thing you are doing and put it in a big ocean and see what it is. Every vessel that is full, set aside. I want to attack small-mindedness this morning. Every vessel that is full, set it aside. But Pastor, we just started a new work, set it aside. On to the next. Say, you have dwelt on this mountain for too long. Tell my people to move forward. I want to attack small-mindedness this morning. If you open your Bible to the book of Genesis, chapter 28. I'm going to beg Pastor Sam. Next time I come in, they give me 2 hours. I will beg myself, please give me 2 hours. I came all the way from Abuja, Pastor Sam. Please help me. Let me see my mind. Genesis 28 from verse 10. We're going to read this scripture systematically. You know how I like to read the Bible? I like to have a Bible reader who has a very strong voice that can just flow with me. Genesis 20 from verse 10. Who can read with me? Anyone like that? Someone from the choir who can read with me. Genesis 28 verse 10. We're going to read now verse 20. Let's go. Let's enjoy the scripture. Let's enjoy it. All right, who's with me? Want to go?
And Jacob went out from Beersheba.
Yes.
And went towards Haran.
Yes. Verse 10, 11.
And he lighted upon certain place.
Yes.
And tarried there all
night.
Hold on.
Yes.
Because the sun was set.
Yes.
And he took up the stones of the place and put them for his pillows.
That
he
may
lay down in that place to sleep.
Yes. Verse 13.
And he dreamt, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth.
A ladder was set up on the earth.
And the top of it reached to the heaven.
And the top of that ladder.
And behold, the angels of God
were ascending and descending on it. Yes.
And behold, the Lord stood above,
The ladder
and said, I am the Lord,
God of Abraham, thy father.
And the God of Isaac.
Yes.
The land whereon thou liest.
To thee will I give it unto thy seed. This was a man lying down on a place with stone as pillow. You can see how God is speaking. God is promising a man that is on the lowest ebb of his life that this thing, I will give it to you. You see, God does not speak at our current circumstance. He speaks his plan and his purpose for us. Read on what it says next time. Next verse.
And thy seed shall be as the dust of the
earth.
And thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east. Unto the north
and to the south,
and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth
be blessed. I want you to pay attention to what God was telling Jacob in this scripture. Yes, next verse.
And behold, I am with thee,
I'm with thee.
I will keep thee in all places
where thou goest. Everywhere you go,
I will bring thee again into this
land. I will bring you here.
I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee.
I will not leave you alone until I have finished what I said. God is a perfecter. The Bible calls him the author and the finisher of our faith. A woman was believing God for the fruit of the womb. And she heard that SLC was going to start in Lagos. Our church was starting. She said, if SLC is coming to Lagos, that means my baby is coming to Lagos. And she joined our church. And shortly after she joined our church, she got pregnant. Because I don't know how it happened, but it happens. Pregnancy everywhere. People that are fornicating are getting pregnant. And then after a few weeks, she went to check the scan. And the doctor's report said the baby is an ectopic pregnancy. Ectopic pregnancy. And she ran back to Jesus. Jesus, the doctor said the baby is ectopic. What are you saying? And the Lord says, what I said in the beginning is what I'm still saying. I'm giving you a baby. And then she went back and checked again after that service. And the doctor saw twins. Rightly placed twins. Because for your shame, he must give you double. God is a finisher. He's an author and the finisher of what he promised. He said to Jacob, I will not leave you till I have finished what I wanted to do with you. Read on what I say next.
And Jacob awoke up
from
his
sleep.
And he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And
it is possible for the Lord to be in a place and people do not know. The Lord is in this place this morning. I hope you know. Anyway, not yes.
And he was afraid and yes. Said, how dreadful is this place?
Yes.
This is none out other but the house of God.
Yes.
And this is the gate of heaven.
Yes.
And Jacob rose up early in the morning and
took the stones that was in the pillows and set a pillar and said, and poured all upon it.
And poured oil.
Verse 19
the
now.
Top of it.
Yes.
And he called the name of that place
Bethel.
But the name of that city was called Luz.
At first, verse 20.
And Jacob vowed,
yeah, help me,
saying,
help me, help
God
me.
Would be
wait,
with
wait,
me.
wait, sir. And Jacob vowed a vow. You can see all that drama. Woke up in the morning, carry stone, carry oil, carry that one. You think that Jacob wanted to say something very important. When Jacob was going to open his mouth, even me, I was shocked. I was reading, Jacob. Jacob said, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread. Jacob came out of an eternal vision. A vision where God was saying, in your seed shall all the families of the earth, a global significant encounter. Jacob reduced it to bread. Jacob reduced God's promises. God was talking. He said, I'm the God of your father Abraham. I'm the God of Isaac. This land where you are lying now, I will give to you. All that you see, I will give to you. Your seed shall inherit the earth. Jacob said, give me bread first. Man must work. When you are done giving me bread, what should you give me again?
Give me clothes. I want to ask you a question. Is it someone that said he will give you the earth? Is it bread? He will not give to you. I don't know if you get what I'm saying here. A global vision. Something God wants to do with your life. Jacob took that experience. That's why when he was carrying all that stone, he was pouring oil, doing all those things, I'm no longer moved. I did not know that he was going to ask for bread. Somebody comes to a meeting like this and asks, God has never promised anybody bread. He will give you a bread factory. He will give you something bigger than you. So when you are wondering why Jacob suffered the way he suffered, this is why. He went to a place to look for wife. The same place where they took his own mother from. His mother's name was Rebecca. The servant of Abraham got there that night. By tomorrow morning, was living with a wife. Abi?
Yes.
Jacob went there to spend 20 years. Because he didn't understand discernment and kingdom. He didn't understand. What God wants to do for you is beyond you. I want just your mind. Your mind cannot be small. Are you following my point? Your mind cannot be small. I want to attack small-mindedness this morning. What God wants to do through your hands is bigger than you. Please, I want to beg you. Don't be small. To choose to be small is to be selfish. I said yesterday. This Jacob, he suffered. If you see suffering, he suffered to a point that when he now had an encounter again 20 years after, this time he did not sleep. You notice when he slept, he had a dream. That one, he caught the angel. Say, you are not living here until you bless me. Because this was 20 years after. 20 years after labor. The Rachel he labored for with all his life, that girl died on the way. That's futility of efforts outside God's plan. Are you following my point? Don't be small in your mind, kingdom citizens. Don't be satisfied with small things. What God wants to give to you is bigger than you. I'm telling you, it's bigger than you. It's bigger than you. What God wants to commit into your hands is bigger. He told Abraham, he said, in your seed shall all the families of the earth. God is a global God. He speaks at his level. He doesn't speak, he doesn't look at your pockets to give you a vision. You cannot wall God's vision for your life around your wallet. What God wants to do with your life is bigger than your purse. Stop looking at your account. Stop looking at your account. I will give you this. I will give you that. Look at Jacob. Look, give us that scripture. You'll be angry now with Jacob now. Verse 21. He said, if you do this, do this, do this, so that I come again, then, when you have given me bread, not now. This is what I said. When you give me bread, you give me clothes, you give me this, it is until that time, oh, for now, with the hustle they go. God said, what? Bread? How can I promise you all the whole earth? And there are Christians like Jacob today. Who, when God is looking at them, their own is to satisfy their today's need first. That was why Esau lost his birthright. Give me, he said, what is my birthright when I'm hungry? So you allow today's hunger deny you of tomorrow's satisfaction. What God, I had to know, you see, because what we do, let me give an example. Where we were moving from in our church to where we're now going, the budget for a year where we're coming from is not up to the budget for 2 months where we're going. So if I looked at my pocket, I will not move. Men of faith don't look before they leap. They listen and then they leap. Because if you look, you will not leap. You know, if you look, you will not leap. You will not leap. Because a lot of visibility reports, pastor, you know, this cannot work, that cannot work, this cannot work, break this down, that cannot work. And that would have continued. But God had something big in mind. So the first thing I want to attack is, first of all, the small-mindedness. Tell yourself, I will not be small. See, I cannot be small. You must see yourself doing big things for the kingdom. Big things. So yeah, your church is just 6 years old and you guys have done all this. Set it aside. There are bigger things. And anyway, they want to praise me small, I get out of that place immediately. What am I doing? I'm checking out, what is God doing? What is God doing? You are not looking at what you did in comparison to what you did yesterday. You are looking at what you are doing today in comparison with what God wants you doing today. What is God's plan for you today? Number two thing you must attack is complacency. And you say, if you don't attack complacency with your life, you will not be able to make any progress in this kingdom. I'm speaking very closely to you this morning because I want you to remember what I'm saying. Those lepers said, "Why sit we here and die?" They did not hear from God. They made the decision that their story must change. That my life can be better than this. Am I talking to somebody this morning? Pray in the Holy Ghost 1 minute. Pray loud. Eka beraku filiki brataya. Iku no ku shikiki biliki taki lakwa felataya. My life will not be small. I refuse to underplay, underdeliver what destiny has for me. I refuse. In this kingdom, I will do as much as God has set out for me. Ika pelata, eko kumbili 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 ka 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 ya, shaka ka 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 ta ta, eko rakus ke pelaya. I will not be complacent. Things must change for me. Things must change for me. I must lay hold on destiny. In Jesus' precious name. Keep playing. Those lepers look one to another. Why sit we here and die? Now, a lot of us know that story, but what you may not know is the background to that story. And I want you to follow me very closely. It's in 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 1, where Elisha said, "By this time tomorrow." You know that scripture. What many of us may not know is what dovetailed into that story. We know that Elisha gave a prophecy. We know that the lepers moved and then they brought plenty to Israel. But we may not take note of what happened that triggered that prophecy. And it's in 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6 is the story that led into this story. Verse 26. Give it to me in NLT so that we can enjoy it. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 26. Now, the Bible says, give it to me in NLT. One day as the king of Israel was walking. Now, Israel was in a famine. They have been besieged by the Syrians. So nothing was coming in, nothing was going out. And every time the king went to Elisha, Elisha would say, there's nothing I can do about it. This thing is from the Lord. It's from the Lord. Just take it. Anything from the Lord is from the Lord. There's nothing anybody can do. It's from the Lord. There's nothing anybody. I don't know if you have heard things like that before. This thing is from the Lord. There's nothing anybody can do. There's nothing anybody can do. That's what Elisha has been telling the king. So one day the king was going along the wall of the city. A woman called up to him, "Please help me, my lord the king." Verse 27. He answered, "If the Lord does not help you, what can I do?" See? My hands are tied. What can I do? I have neither food from the threshing floor nor wine from the press to give you. Verse 28. But the king asked, what is the matter? She replied, this woman said to me, come on, let's eat your son today. Then we'll eat my son tomorrow. So you can imagine the extent of will of famine that mothers were boiling their children to eat. So we cooked my son and ate him. Then the next day I said to her, kill your son so we can eat him. But she has hidden her son. The king had this. He tore his clothes in despair. And as the king walked along the wall, people could see what he was wearing under his singlet. They were seeing his underwear of the king. Verse 31. The king said, may God strike me. Look at that scripture. May God strike me if I don't cut off Elisha's head today. Now, the king said, I'm not doing this anymore. Today, let that God kill me if I don't cut off Elisha's head today. Verse 32. Elisha was having a meeting in his house with some elders. You know, Elisha's case was already settled. He was supernaturally provided for in his house. Somehow, angels were bringing food. So he didn't care about the thing happening outside. But now, the king had vowed, I will cut off his head. You see, a time will come in your life, you will not take this thing anymore. So, Elisha was able to catch into the spirit. That it's like this, my head, I'm using to think. It's about to go. He said, ah! The messenger arrived. Elisha said to the others, a murderer, by word of knowledge, a murderer has sent a man to cut off my head. When he arrives, please help me shut the door so that I will not be able to enter. I can even hear in the spirit, his master is coming behind him. All those things he was hearing in the spirit. Today is the day. Your life is over today. Verse 30. While Elisha was still saying that, the messenger arrived with matchets. And the king said, all this mystery is from the Lord, Abi. Why should I wait? Let everybody go and meet the Lord. All of us will meet the Lord today. The king said, I am not waiting for the Lord anymore. It was in the heat of that passion that Elisha's head was about to come down. That 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 1. Give it to us. Quickly. Elisha said, listen with the message from the Lord. By this time tomorrow, in the markets of Samaria, where did that prophecy come from? I am not taking this anymore. I'm done with this rubbish. I'm not taking this anymore. Isaac told you so. The day you become restless, you will break the yoke of your brother off your neck. My wife's mother died of cancer. Her breast was cut off. She was buried. That's my mother-in-law. I woke up one morning. My wife was crying. I said, what happened? She said, sweetheart, there are lumps in my breast. You see that? Her mom died of breast cancer. And she said, this is how I'm going to die and leave the children behind. I got up. Out of anger, I went to my door. Literally my house door. I said, Satan, this is my house. To get to my wife, you have to get through me. I am not taking this anymore. In 2 weeks, all the lumps will disappear. This story is 12 years ago.
king said, I am not waiting anymore. That prophecy that came out of Elisha's mouth, where was that prophecy 7 years ago?
Why did Elisha have to wait till his head was about to go before he began to speak? And some of you, things will continue the way they are until you rise on your feet. I'm not taking this anymore. You see, God cannot use the man that is complacent. He can't. He can't use the man that is satisfied with the way things are. He can't. He can't use a man that's scared, afraid. What am I going to do? How am I going to go? No. He needs a man whose heart is as bold as a lion. I'm not taking this anymore. I'm not taking this anymore. And sometimes God will prompt things in your life to trigger you to get to that place in your life where you say, I cannot take this anymore. There are painkillers in your life. Painkillers that make you numb the pain. You know painkillers? You know, painkillers don't cure the pain. Painkillers stop your brain from communicating the pain. And there are many people who have painkillers. Don't worry, it's God's way. Don't worry, what will be. Don't worry, those are painkillers. God is triggering your heart. There's something bigger than this. There's something more than this. There's something better. But they are painkiller friends. Don't worry, all is well. All's gonna be well. Don't worry, painkiller friends. Hannah was barren. Elkanah, her husband, had gone to marry another wife, Penina. And every time Anna wanted to cry, Elkanah would say, don't worry. Am I not better than 10 sons? Someone say, painkiller. Painkiller. I bought a house for Elkanah, for Penina. I bought you 10 houses. Bible says, when he buys a gift for Penina, you buy 10 for Anna to numb a pain while he had gone to marry another wife. And so many times she would tell Anna, Anna would say, why? You say, I love you. You say, if you love me, why then did you marry? Why then did you leave me to marry someone else? And every time Anna wanted to send a child something at home, come on, go help me buy salt. Penina would shout out, shut up! Barren woman, go and look for your own child. And he did that all day and all night. And I tell you the truth, that Samuel was not God's gift to Hannah. Samuel was God's gift to Israel. God's gift to Hannah was Penina. I call her Penina. Pain in Hannah. Somebody needed to remind her that you need a child of your home. You need a child of your home. You are complacent where you are. Things can be better than this. Things can be brighter than this. And one day she slugged it out with the Lord. Said, give me a son, I will give you a prophet. Somebody need to push her to that point. Kingdom citizens are not complacent. Rise on your feet. With every fury in your heart, I want you to look at what God has promised you and begin to declare. I lay claim on it. I lay claim. I will not. I can't hear you praying. Ika berato shikate. Meko suke paka. Iku mengam bam bam buluku taka. I'm not taking this anymore. I'm not taking this anymore. There's something bigger. There's something more. Ikoton ton bota. Embolo do bolo moto. Embam bam 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 be. Embam bam 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 be. Embam bam 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 be. Ika para la basaya. Ika la ba ba la ba 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 ta. Eraga ba 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 shala ba ha. Ika papa rakosta. Pray. Eraga papa. Ratwa nate ketele. Pray. Yeah. What's up?
me. I lay out. Can be more. I don't want it anymore. Enough is enough. Over my family, that limitation is broken. Over my home, is somebody praying? Enough is enough. Over my finance, enough is enough. Equa perada babalabataya. Erragababababashalababataya. Enough is enough. Cancer, go.
Shapatia.
PCOS, go. Barrenness, go. Poverty, go. Shakakakabataya. Equa paraya. Ekashaya. Gotta be more than this. Tired of the status quo. Gotta be more. I'm tired of the status quo. Gotta be more than. Gotta be more. Gotta be more.
This
stuff
is small.
I'm tired of the status quo. It's gotta be more. Tired of the status quo. Gotta be more. I'm tired of
the status quo.
Gotta be more. It's gotta be more than.
Gotta be more.
Gotta be more. Looking around for Pastor Sam.